This is Cats Podcast, episode number 51.
Welcome to the podcast, Harmony. My guest today is Harmony Robinson-Stagg, and I'm very happy to have her on because we're chatting one of my favorite topics or favorite sciences, which is Ayurveda. And Harmony is an expert in Ayurveda and women's health, and she combines her Ayurveda knowledge with traditional Chinese medicine and over 20 years of nursing experience. So I'm really, really happy to have her on. Welcome to my podcast, Harmony.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here. I love speaking about Ayurveda and women's health as well. So I think it's going to be a good chat.
Yeah, it will be, definitely. So since this is my women's health series that I'm still running on my podcast, I'm very much into, you know, natural remedies, alternative ways of healing, and of course, women's health, because I'm a woman, so I can relate. And the topic I want to focus on today is menstruation and period pain, because this topic is, well, honestly, every second woman I talk to has some kind of period issue, be that painful periods, and then they usually take some kind of pharmaceutical drug against it, or be that heavy periods or missing periods. And well, you know, looking at our lifestyle and, you know, having maybe some experience within that field, you know, knowing about environmental toxins and food that can be contaminated and a stressful lifestyle, etc., we know that can add up. But I really want to open people's eyes to, you know, solutions that are beyond the pharmaceutical drugs, because that's not really a solution. And I know that Ayurveda, with its 1,000-year-old wisdom, can help. So, yeah, again, very happy to have you on. So what I would like to do first is clarify some terms. Maybe we could briefly touch on, is a painful period always a heavy period, or the other way around? So does painful period equal heavy period, or can we make a distinction?
Yeah, no. So painful periods, or dysmenorrhea, and heavy periods, which is menorrhagia, are not the same. They can sometimes occur together, but they don't have to occur together. So painful periods, they'll involve cramping, lower abdominal pain, and sometimes nausea or even back pain. And this is caused by the contraction of the uterus as it sheds the endometrial lining. But excessive pain may indicate an imbalance within the our doshas from an Ayurvedic perspective, or our physiology as, you know, just a science perspective. And then heavy periods, or menorrhagia, as we call them, are defined as excessive bleeding. So losing more than 80 mils of blood per cycle, that means like you're needing to change your pads or tampons or cups, whatever you use for your menstrual cycle, like every 1 to 2 hours, or if their periods lasting longer than 7 days. So heavy periods aren't necessarily painful, and painful periods aren't necessarily heavy, but they can coincide together.
All right. Thank you so much for clarifying. I think that's super helpful, because oftentimes these terms get mixed up and we speak about, I don't know, one thing, but it's not actually that thing we mean to speak about. Well,
I guess you just assume, like, if we've got heavy periods, you think, oh, they're so heavy, they must be really painful, like there's something going on, right? And if it's painful, you're thinking, oh, there must be a lot of blood loss. It kind of is like natural to the human mind to think that way, I guess. But yeah, they certainly can happen together, but not always.
Okay, good. do you see one or the other occurring more often within the women that come to you seeking help?
I see a mix, quite frankly, I see both. I think painful periods would probably be a little more prevalent than the heavier periods, because the heavier periods will really, like, it'll depend on your individual constitution, but also what's happening with your hormones. Painful periods can come from having maybe endometriosis. It can come from having high histamine levels. It can come from if you're really sensitive at that time of the period, like there's a lot of trauma going on. There's so many sort of reasons behind those painful periods. And heavy periods, like I said, it will be quite dependent on what's going on for the individual with their hormonal aspect, their hormonal conditions. So I would say dysmenorrhea would probably be more prevalent, but heavy periods, I certainly see a lot of that as well.
All right. Before we look at the causes, you already touched on the causes for both heavy and painful periods. But before we go into that a little bit deeper, and also, of course, the remedies, because that's what we're here for, let's briefly touch on why a period on the pill is not a period. Because I feel that this notion is still out there with women taking contraceptives, taking the pill, that, well, they're heavily having actually a proper bleed, but that's not the case, right? It's something artificial, disconnected from nature.
Yeah, absolutely. So there is two types of, well, there's many types of contraception and pills, but we'll look at it as a combined contraceptive pill, which is a combination of synthetic estrogen and progestins, and the mini pill, which is progestins only. So a period on the pill, well, what women are calling a period, so the bleed on the pill is a withdrawal bleed rather than a natural menstrual cycle. The birth control suppresses ovulation and it overrides the body's natural hormone rhythms. Instead of a true period, what they're experiencing is a synthetic response to stopping the pill for those placebo days, because often the days they're bleeding, they've stopped taking the pill and they're on the, like, what we call the sugar pills. They've got nothing in them, but they just help to keep us on count with the days that we're taking them. Some people, some women miss those pills altogether and they won't get a breakthrough bleed. And some women still do get the breakthrough bleed, but it's not due to a normal cycle because you're not ovulating. That's specifically if you're on the combined oral contraceptive pill. The mini pill, it is the same situation. However, because it is such a low dose of progestin, some women, and I think they say up to 50% of women, can actually still ovulate on the mini pill. So that one's up for debate whether they're having
All
three bleeds or having a menstrual cycle. Again, their ovulation's not going to be the same quality as a natural ovulation. Yeah, but that's like a whole different concept to the combined pill. A real menstrual cycle, so we're talking about when we're not on the oral contraceptive pill, it involves a fluctuation between estrogen, progesterone, luteinizing hormone, and follicle stimulating hormone, which regulate ovulation and prepare the uterus for pregnancy. But what the pill does is it stops or impedes these hormones happening naturally within our body. So, therefore, we can't have that proper menstrual cycle. Without ovulation, you're not getting the full benefit of your natural hormones, such as progesterone's calming and anti-inflammatory effects, or estrogen support for bone health. So, that's why ovulation is really important in women's health. However, there are some women that go on the oral contraceptive pill after they've tried a million different things, and they may be in agony with their periods or whatnot. And you know, there's no judgment there either, but you do have to know that there's informed consent to understand that when you do stop your natural ovulation and your natural hormones, you are also could be impeding on your bone health, your cardiovascular health, your mental health, because our estrogen and our progesterone do protect these aspects of our body as well. So it's really important to nurture and look after your health as a whole aspect when you are taking the oral contraceptive pills.
And such an important point to make. So how do you see that play out within, I don't know, maybe heavy or painful periods or missing periods later on when people or when women stop taking the pill and then go back to their natural cycle? How can that play out? How can that be a cause for heavy or painful periods or missing periods?
So when we're talking about missing periods, I mean, again, there's many different reasons, and it could be because you've taken the oral contraceptive pill, so you're not getting your period, or your body's getting it back into a natural rhythm with its hormones. So if you have come off the pill, then your body might be playing a bit of catch up and trying to re-regulate all of the hormones. And hormones are chemical messengers, so those messaging signals have been cut off using the oral contraceptive pill, so they have to take some time to recalibrate. So that's maybe why you've got a missing period. But often when we look at it from a clinical setting, missing periods are what we call amenorrhea, and again, there's different causes of amenorrhea. And this could be from an Ayurvedic perspective, a Vata imbalance, so lots of stress, over-exercising, low body weight, that can all prevent you from ovulating, which will obviously cause the period to quote-unquote go missing. Low progesterone as well due to chronic stress, again, like birth control or nutrient deficiencies, will stop you ovulating and having a menstrual cycle. Some women suffer from PCOS, so polycystic ovarian syndrome, and that's when they have high androgens, and sometimes they can have insulin resistance. But what happens with PCOS is they don't have a regular cycle, and they might miss a period or miss a cycle. And also thyroid imbalance, so hypothyroidism, can delay ovulation as well. So there's many causes of why you may be having a missing period. And going back to the other part of that question is what, like, when you are on the pill and then you do come off the pill, and then your symptoms come back, that's because when you're on the pill, you're not exactly treating the underlying cause that caused the symptoms in the first place. So you may come back to square one where you were, and that's where Ayurveda comes in, because it's really good to implement the healing methods of Ayurveda to help get your body back into its natural balance state and understand the root cause of why you're having those painful periods or why you're having those heavy periods, and treat it from that aspect.
That makes absolute sense to me, that you're just covering up the problem, the cause, for a while, and you might think, oh, well, actually I've overcome it, it's okay now. But then when you take it off or stop the pill, then it comes back. It makes so much sense. So let's dive into the painful periods a little bit deeper first. So you already touched on some causes, saying high histamine or having endometriosis. You also mentioned the doshas. So what I would love to do is just touch on a few, maybe the common causes, if there are common causes, and then what remedies Ayurveda offers for painful periods. Because it's really something, again, I just have to stress it here, because for me, it's so sad to see that women really have to, you know, take these loads of pharmaceutical drugs every month, and oftentimes maybe even think it's normal that the period is painful, but it's actually, it shouldn't be painful if it was like naturally in flow.
So I think one of the leading causes of dysmenorrhea or painful periods is endometriosis. And so understanding if you do have endometriosis or not will help from that aspect. The other reason we get painful periods is like high prostaglandin. So the prostaglandin release, which is hormone-like chemicals, they cause really strong uterine contractions and inflammation in the body. So women who experience this, it's really good for them to follow a anti-inflammatory diet around their menstrual cycle specifically. That will also, and also being mindful if there's like a lot of histamine triggers, so foods that can trigger histamine response in the body, because histamine and prostaglandins work together. From an Ayurvedic perspective, we always look at the individual's constitution. So we work on the doshas, vata, pitta, and kapha. And what type of pain is it? So a vata imbalance, they're going to present with more of those spasmodic cramps, cold lower abdomen, and constipation. And these together will create, you know, painful periods. So are we treating a vata imbalance? So we'd look at that. For a pitta imbalance, they might have more of that inflammatory style of cramp, a lot of heat in the body, a lot of irritability. The kapha will have sort of this sort of dull sort of aching cramp going on, feel really clammy, feel like really fluid retention, really bloated with their dysmenorrhea. So we look at the individual constitution, and then we can implement different strategies to support that constitution. Painful periods can also be from a lack of nutrients. So if they're low in magnesium, if they're low in vitamin B levels, and if they're low in iron, that can all contribute to pain as well. Also looking at poor circulation and stagnation, that can contribute to painful periods. So looking at their lifestyle, do they have lack of movement? Do they have poor digestion? And stress also can create a lot of stagnation in the pelvis as well. So we look at it from an energetic point of view. So when we look at painful periods, it's very sort of holistic, and we treat it differently depending on the individual that presents with the period pain. So it's hard to give like a one sort of size fits all approach to period pain when it's so individualized. But there are some general Ayurvedic remedies for period pain. Ginger and turmeric tea is really good to help with the inflammation. So if you do have those inflammatory style periods, that can be really helpful. Another good one for period pain that I found is really, really amazing. I love to combine 600 milligrams of magnesium with high doses of ginger. Those together work really well for cramps.
So the ginger, how do you put it in there? Just raw ginger, grated, or cut into little pieces? Or
you can have it however you want. I mean, we say 1,000 milligrams of ginger, but that would be like taking ginger capsules or something. But if you've got raw ginger, if you grate the ginger, if you've got the powdered ginger, you can make a ginger tea with it and take your magnesium with it that way. You can get the ginger in however suits you, whatever you've got in your kitchen pantry. Another good one for period pain is leading up to your period, doing castor oil packs or warm sesame oil abhyanga massage, because this will help to increase circulation and reduce the cramps. There's also, we call it CCFT, which is cumin, fennel, and coriander tea, that eases the bloating and calms the digestive system. A lot of the period pain, women also get excessive bloating and slowing down of their digestive system. You want to avoid cold foods and drinks. So we want to keep the digestive system warm to maintain balance. We want to keep that agni, what we call in Ayurveda, burning. So we want to have nourishing, warm, cooked foods. And we do want to do some gentle movement like walking or yoga to support the blood flow without overstressing the body. Mm-hmm. But also just to, you know, keep that stagnation moving.
Yeah. Wow. Great. That's amazing tips. And I will definitely come back to the, you know, the cold drinks, the cold food, the exercise stuff when we get to our little section, what to do, what not to do on a period, because I know there's also maybe not even misinformation out there, but women doing things that are not beneficial for their status, like, or yeah, that moment being within the cycle. So I'm just wrapping up the remedies here against painful periods. So it will be ginger and turmeric tea. That's also all right for all doshas, even pitta, although the ginger can be quite heating, I guess.
Yeah, ginger can be quite heating for pitta, but it's also got really great anti-inflammatory properties, and that's the same for turmeric. Turmeric's great for pitta, but also can be a little bit warming as well. So just having it more, not really hot. So if you're a pitta constitution, you can have it more of a lukewarm, tea.
Okay, good, great. So then, remedy number two, 600 milligrams of magnesium plus ginger. I love that. And it's interesting because I always tell women to take magnesium, and they're all like, "Ah, oh, I forgot about magnesium." And I always say, "Yeah, let's take like a super high dose for a few days. 1,000 milligram or so, so that will be okay, right? And it really might help. Good, good. Because with the magnesium, at least in Europe, you have these disclaimers. Oh, don't take more than, I don't know, 300 milligrams a day. But it's, yeah, I feel you need really a higher dose to have an effect in that moment.
When we're supporting like cramps and muscle cramps and things like that, for sure.
Good. Then we have the castor oil packs, warm sesame oil, Abhyanga. So Abhyanga is giving your body a massage with that oil, in this case sesame oil, and it's got all those inflammatory properties. And it's really nice. So if you've never done it, really do it. It's like like a self-love moment.
It is, and it's so beautiful for nourishing the Vata dosha as well. And Vata governs our central nervous system. So if there's any stress leading up to painful period, as we spoke about, stress can, be one of the causative factors for a more painful period.
Let's go into that also briefly. And then the last remedy is cumin, fennel, and coriander. Did you say it as a tea or just as spices mixed in tea?
The
Okay.
tea.
Yeah, great. That's really, I mean, I love these tips because they are so easy, right? Okay, you have to buy it once, but then you have it at home, you're prepped for your next period, and yeah, you're good to go. So I actually wanted to do that before, but let's touch very briefly on the doshas for those listeners who are not very familiar with Ayurveda, who are hearing us speak about the doshas now. So what's a dosha? Why is it so important?
So the doshas are our mind-body constitution, and they're very unique and individualized to us. We have all three doshas within us, which is there's Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. However, we have them in a unique combination in varying degrees as per individual, and they'll show up in different ways in each individual. The doshas are made up of the elements, which are is the fundamental sort of law of Ayurveda, using the elements. And so Vata is made up of air and ether. Pitta is fire and water, and Kapha is water and earth. When it comes to Ayurveda and the menstrual cycle, there's a direct reflection of your dosha depending on your menstruation. So a Vata imbalance, you may see the women who have more irregular cycles or light periods, or they may be the ones that have like more of the missing periods. They can have intense cramping. Vata governs movement, and a lot of dryness. So they might have more of the scanty sort of period and dry skin leading up to it. A Pitta imbalance, they will have more heavier periods. They might have more of the painful, intense, like painful periods, like heated period feeling, hot flashes with their periods, clotting, inflammation, and mood swings. They can have, a lot of sort of irritability prior to their period coming on as well. And a Kapha imbalance, they'll have prolonged periods. They might have bloating, a lot of fluid retention, sluggish digestion, They might, like I said before, they feel really clammy around their period. So when we understand our more dominant dosha, then we can provide different treatment protocols for that client. And the doshas show up in like the way that we think, the way our body, how it responds. So it's not just to do with menstrual cycles, but when we're looking from a menstrual cycle perspective, an Ayurvedic perspective, we sort of ask those questions around the cycle to find out what type of doshic influence is being had on that woman's menstrual cycle.
Thank you. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I love Ayurveda so much, because it gives us this system, right? When you know your constitution and your likely imbalances, you can much more easily bring yourself back into balance because you know how to counterbalance. And there's this fundamental Ayurvedic law of like attracts like and opposites balance. And when you understand that, you can almost start applying Ayurveda yourself right now, right? When you're hot. I mean, okay, maybe that example is again a bit tricky, but when you're hot, you wouldn't drink or go out more into the sun and drink something hot, but you would try to cool your body down with cooling foods and drinks. Not ice cold though, that's another rule of Ayurveda, but you would have maybe like room temperature water or go into the shade, and that would help you balance out the heat, right? Or same in yoga, if you're already a very fiery, a very stressed, a very go-getting pitta person, don't do more back bends and laterals because they will only aggravate your problem, your dynamic, let's say that way. Don't phrase it as a problem, but that dynamic that you're spinning in will only be more aggravated. So yeah, do poses that help you cool down. All right, moving on to the heavy periods. So what can cause heavy periods and what can we do to get back into balance? You said heavy periods, it's really like excessive bleeding when you have to, for example, change your tampons or your sanitary, oh my gosh, no, I'm lacking the word here. Every 1 to 2 hours, or if you're bleeding for longer than 7 days. So what could be the causes and the remedies?
Yeah, so one of the causes for heavy periods that I see in clinical practice is estrogen dominance. So that's having too much estrogen without enough progesterone, because our progesterone will lighten the period, so it can be low progesterone. Another one is actually iron deficiency. It's actually quite a vicious cycle where blood loss leads to further depletion of iron, but iron can also cause heavier periods, and there's a correlation with the thyroid there as well. Stress and liver overload. So the liver actually helps to detoxify excess estrogen. So if it's sluggish, then estrogen will build up. And when we're looking at from the Ayurvedic perspective, as I mentioned before, a pitta imbalance, so excessive heat and inflammation in the blood, that can all cause heavy periods. And so some Ayurvedic remedies for heavy periods, we look at, there are some beautiful herbs that can support, like shatavari and ashoka. They help to balance hormones and strengthen the uterine health. Triphala can really support liver detox, to balance the hormones. If it's more of a pitta imbalance causing the heat and the heavy periods, we might implement some aloe vera juice, because that will cool the excess pitta. It also soothes the reproductive system. Pomegranate and sesame seed is really good for building blood. So with heavy periods, you're losing a lot of blood. So when we can build enough blood, it sounds counterintuitive, but it also helps to prevent excess loss. So pomegranate and sesame seeds. And you also want to reduce some of those pitta aggravating foods, such as spicy foods, fried foods, and processed foods, because they will aggravate pitta even more, which will cause more inflammation, more heat, and potential blood loss.
All right. Thank you. That's very helpful, very practical. Perfect. So let's look at what to do, what not to do when menstruating, and we'll include what to drink or what not to drink and eat, ideally, when you're on your period. And so I know that from an Ayurveda perspective, there are certain things that should be avoided while having your period, or at least in the first 2 to 3 days. Please correct me if I'm wrong. And this could be things like intense exercising or fasting or even hot showers. As far as I know, it's not advisable from an Ayurvedic perspective to have hot showers, for example, when you're on your bleed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So some things that you do want to avoid, as you mentioned, are intense workouts that will cause more stress on the body. You also don't want cold showers or ice baths because this can constrict the blood flow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if you have dysmenorrhea, which is period pain, maybe you've already got cold in the uterus, got too much cold or too much baths are going on, so you don't want to have anything that's going to constrict the blood flow. Fasting, you definitely don't want to do any fasting as it disrupts the blood sugars and hormonal imbalances. And so what you want to do instead is rest and practice a lot of self-care, especially as you mentioned in the first few days. Drink warm herbal teas like the teas we mentioned earlier, and get some gentle movement in like yoga and walking and just really connecting yourself, grounding in with nature, because this is a time for where our intuition actually as women is heightened, and it's a really beautiful time to practice pratyahara and go within. And you get so much more out of the experience of menstruating if you see it as it's your sacred time to really tap into your inner wisdom and, be with yourself, be with your body, and really cherish that moment. And
I
so
love that you could combine your digital detox next time with your bleed. That's actually perfect, right?
absolutely, I love that. That is perfect. It's so perfect. And yeah, just do a lot of meditating and just yeah, coming into yourself. And with that self-care is eating and drinking foods that are going to nourish the body. So, favor warm cooked foods. So nourishing soups and stews, root vegetables, they're very grounding. Iron-rich foods, again, leafy greens, sesame seeds, dates, lentils. We want healthy fats, so ghee, avocado, coconut, nuts, they are all healthy fats, and herbal teas, ginger, cinnamon, licorice is a beautiful herbal tea as well, fennel. But what you want to avoid is we don't want cold raw foods because it'll slow down our digestion and our circulation. So we don't want that to happen while we're menstruating. We don't want excess caffeine and alcohol because this will disrupt our hormone balance as well. And we want to really limit the dairy and sugar because that will increase inflammation. And especially women who do have either heavy or painful periods, if they really monitor their dairy and sugar intake around their menstrual cycle, they reduce that, they often find great relief.
That's again amazing tips. Thank you so much. And would you say that do this really throughout your whole bleed, or just try to, stick with it for the 2 to 3 days for the first days, and then it's okay to do, your regular thing again? Or would you say no, best is to, do it for the whole period of the period?
I mean, it depends on the woman's bleed because some women will bleed for 3 days, some for 7 days, some heavy, some light. So, if it is to the heavier side, the start of the period, if you do like have a 7 day period and most of that's quite substantial or heavy, then I would do it for the whole time. If you've got a 3 day bleed, I mean, why not just do it for 3 days? But if you've got a 5 day bleed and the first day might be, somewhat heavy, and then it lightens right off and starts spotting. I mean, the spotting days, not going to be so crucial, but really, the recommendations that are provided are quite sort of Ayurvedic ways of being anyway, even doesn't matter what part of your cycle you're at, but around menstruation, even more so important.
Good. And Let us just go a little bit deeper into the hot shower, hot baths, maybe even going to a spa thing while you're having your period. I've seen that and I was like, huh, I don't know. It's not probably not the best time. Can you elaborate on that a little bit deeper? Why not?
So it's more dependent on, from my perspective, more dependent on the constitution. So if
Okay,
you
good.
have the pitta inflammation and the pitta heat and the heavy bleeds, then like as we mentioned, like increase like. So adding hot is going to increase pitta, increase hot. So it could increase the inflammation, the bleed. So that's sort of like from a standpoint of, well, what's the woman's constitution, as opposed to a vata who might be having some abdominal cramps with their period. Lower back pain is quite common in vata, but they also are very cool people. So perhaps a warm bath or a warm shower. Like, we don't want anything excessive, so we don't want it excessively hot, but a warm bath and a warm shower could be really, really nourishing for a vata
Okay.
going through their menstrual cycle.
Right. What about a like a thermos on your abdomen, a hot water bottle?
Yeah, so again, that's like if you've got more cold stagnation in the
Same
uterus,
thing, right?
yeah, then that would
Yeah.
be perfect. Yeah,
Okay, good.
whereas, someone who has a lot of heat might find that having more cooling aspects or cooling mechanisms will make their pain less.
Yeah. All right. Very helpful. Thank you. I'm just looking at my notes. If there was something else I would like to touch on regarding this topic, just briefly, because I was chatting about it with someone a couple of days ago regarding missing periods. I remember that I didn't get my period once for 3 months. When I was traveling, I was first in Indonesia, then going to New Zealand, and my gynecologist, she said when I was back in Germany, she as well, it's actually quite natural that that happens with all the time difference. So what's the Ayurvedic lens or your opinion on that? Is that something that's like totally normal and people should just like wait it out, or should we do something about it?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be two ways to look at it. So if the person traveling is under a lot of stress, is undernourished because they're not eating, so they're not getting the vitamins they need to produce their proper hormones, then obviously there's a lot more that we need to do with that person. But if that person is traveling and going through different time zones, I mean, and they're happy and they're relaxed and, they're just having the best time and their period just doesn't happen to show up. Well, obviously, we'd test for a pregnancy test if that's on the cards.
Yeah.
But otherwise, we've got to think, well, Ayurveda draws all of its insights from nature, and Ayurveda really aligns ourselves with our natural biological clock and nature's clock. So if we're jumping time zones all of the time, our body hasn't caught up and aligned with the natural rhythms. It's kind of like constantly trying to reset, reset, reset. And that will take a bit of a toll on your hormones. And so if you're well within yourself, if you're happy, if you're traveling and your period doesn't come, then it's okay. Like, when you go back to your natural, normal routine and you're implementing all those wonderful Ayurvedic principles into your daily routine, and then if your period doesn't come back, well, yeah, we need to understand why, because it's not like completely normal for a woman, a menstruating woman, to not have a period. But if it then comes back, when she's home, when she's in her natural rhythm, that's absolutely fine. But again, like I said, if there's other things going on with that symptom, like there's some sort of, like pain, undernourishment, anything like that, a lot of stress, then we do need to treat those causes, because the period could be missing, not just because of like a time zone thing, but because there's other
Right.
underlying issues.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you. So,
Welcome.
someone listening is now super intrigued, wants to have a session with you. I'll link to your website, Harmony Inspired Health, in the show notes and to your Instagram as well. And you are doing online sessions, are
Yeah.
you? Yeah.
Yeah,
Cool.
so I see people worldwide as an Ayurveda and women's health practitioner. So I do sessions online, and I also have an Ayurveda school for anyone who is interested in learning more about Ayurveda and just studying it in depth so they can really embody the practice in all aspects of the life of their life, and then even possibly go on to integrate it into their health and wellness business or create their own health and wellness business as an Ayurveda and women's holistic health coach. So that's sort of the two avenues that I support women.
That's amazing. Yeah, you're doing really a lot of things. I love it. And you're also giving out a lot of free masterclasses, I've seen. Like, there's a lot popping up on your Instagram feed. And so anyone listening now, if you're on Instagram, follow Harmony and keep an eye open for her masterclasses and, of course, all the other offers.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you on. Compact episode, I would say, but as I see it, it will be super, super valuable for so many women out there. So yeah, thank you so much for taking the time and being here.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. I really hope that you enjoyed this episode, that you got some good wisdom out of it. Whatever it was, there were any aha moments for you, anything that was particularly helpful, please let us know. Leave us a comment over on Instagram, where I'll be posting some snippets of this conversation, or send us a message. We're really happy to hear from you. And well, now enjoy your day or your evening, and I'll hope to see you on the next one.